And now joining us once again from New York, certified yoga instructor Steve Kane is on the phone to talk about mindful eating. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Mara. Thanks for having me on the program again.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Glad to have you back once again. And I think this is a really important topic, so I'm glad that we're getting to talk about it. Why don't we start off, though, with, for people who haven't heard you before on this show, with your background. What is your background?
Well, for starters, I'm a 200-hour certified yoga instructor. I've been teaching for about 5 years and practicing for about 15 years. I teach at Yoga Shivaya, which is a yoga studio in Tarrytown, New York. And I was actually overweight before I learned about this idea of mindful eating that kind of came as an outgrowth of my yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all that, I'm a father of an 8-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son. And I run a creative agency that does a lot of work in medical education and web technology.
Okay. All right. So let's get to this topic about mindful eating. And so I think it would probably be a good idea to start with the opposite, mindless eating. What are some examples of mindless eating?
I think the one that probably most of us have experienced in this culture is movie theater popcorn. I remember being really shocked when they started putting the calorie counts up in New York. And, you know, just this, you know, what's called the large bag of popcorn, which is like the standard size, has like 1,200 calories. And then, you know, putting in a big gulp on top of it, you know, I'm not even talking about the bucket. But, you know, I've sat there and eaten an entire bucket of popcorn and, you know, a large soda. And, you know, you're putting, you know, north of 2,000 calories in your system. And the thing that is, you know, really problematic about it is that you're not even paying attention to what you're eating because your mind is on the movie, you know. So I think that's a, you know, really clear example of what mindless eating can look like. Another one I just kind of personally experienced when I was young, I was in college, and one time a buddy of mine and I went to McDonald's, and, you know, he ate a Big Mac, a large fry, and a large Coke from the counter to the door. So he basically ate the Big Mac in like 3 bites, the large fries in 3 bites, and the large Coke in 3 slurps. And I remember just being, you know, shocked by that. It was many years later. He told me it was kind of a well-practiced little bit of performance art. But it's still, you know, it's still a really good example of what mindless eating looks like, you know, because you couldn't possibly be enjoying the food eating that quickly. So, you know, that's the real practice of mindful eating is to do the opposite, you know, to slow down, you know, be kind of reverent, and to really make eating a meditation. And in so doing, not only do you eat less, but you enjoy everything more. So there's a real mm-hmm. benefit to that approach.
So let's back up a little bit. What are you talked about the calories? You know, eating 2,000 calories while watching a movie is like more than most people eat in a day if they're trying to keep a healthy weight. What are some other risks of mindless eating?
Well, there's some research that says that income insecurity actually leads to obesity, because, you know, you as a being want to survive. So if you have fluctuations in income, you know, this fear of not having enough food will lead you to really aggressively want to put on weight. And that was something I actually experienced myself. I paid my way through college and graduate school while working full-time. So I was just always strapped for cash. I never had enough money for food. And for 1 week, actually just one summer, while I was working construction during the summer during college, I ate nothing but pasta and garlic butter for three meals a day for the week because I think the cheapest thing I could possibly think of cooking.
Wow.
Soon after that, one of my first jobs had a free catered lunch, and you know that was the year that I put on about 30 pounds working there. Not being starving in the sense of, you know, starving to death, but, you know, living on a very lean budget, it was just irresistible to kind of pile that lunch plate up with whatever they were serving.
Right.
And so, I, you know, having experienced that, I know that, this biological imperative to eat can really override, you know, kind of that higher mind thing of, you know, I need to eat more thoughtfully, you know, you eat healthier, you eat less, or whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, you know, that baser impulse, certainly of survival feels like it's at stake, but, you know, oftentimes, you know, there are other things, or, you know, eating for emotional comfort or for other reasons that play into that kind of need
mm-hmm.
to overeat or eat mindlessly just to kind of medicate ourselves.
Right. Right. I certainly can understand what you're talking about, being in college and graduate school and eating whatever you can find.
Right.
You know, we would eat at the happy hour at bars because they would put all kinds of really, you know, all kinds of food that was really terrible
right.
for us. Just because
but when
it
you're
was free.
When you're that hungry, there's no food is terrible, you know.
That's right. That's right. So mindful eating, it sounds like, you know, you talked about that you enjoy your food. What else is included in mindful eating?
Well, the first insight I had was I had done a yoga retreat pretty soon after I started practicing yoga. I just went up for a weekend and this place in the Berkshires that had a silent breakfast. And it really woke me up to this fact that, oh, you know what, I'm never really paying attention to what I'm eating. That act of, you know, just sitting there quietly, not talking, not reading, not
mm-hmm.
watching TV, not having any other stimulus, and just really focusing on your food for the time that you're eating, you know, it was a revelation. It really was the beginning of my changing my relationship with food. I should step back for a second and say that, look, everybody has their own relationship with food. Everybody's on their own journey, and none of this is dogma. But this idea that
mm-hmm.
mindful eating as a practice of learning to become more present when you're eating, I think, is a really useful one. So, you know, you slow down, you relax, and you learn to really savor what you're eating. And, and see if that can be, a leverage point that you can start to change your relationship with food if you feel like it needs to be changed. If nothing else happens, just by being more present, you know, you're going to enjoy it more. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the, you know, the act of bringing your consciousness to the present moment is one of the big benefits of yoga, and it actually applies to eating as well, you know, that eating can become, this relationship with food changes as it becomes a meditation. You feel like you're having kind of a congress with the experience of eating, the taste, the smells, you know, the experience of making the food, all of it. It changes in this practice of mindful eating.
Mm-hmm. So other benefits to eating mindfully in terms of nutrition that we get from the food?
Well, yeah, I think that a couple things happen there. I mean, so there's the first big one for me that was a shocker was that, just by being more present, I'm going to enjoy everything more. But then the flip side of that is I end up losing those 30 pounds, you know, over the course of, it took me a very short period of time to gain the weight. You know, I was slower losing it. But because you're enjoying what you're eating more, you're being more present, you tend to eat less and you tend to eat more healthfully. And, you start to disconnect, you know, if there's those emotional food triggers, One of the ones for me was, I never really had that much of a sweet tooth, but it's kind of nice to have something sweet after a meal. And I started to realize that, you know what, the only thing I really care about at the end of the day is like really dark chocolate. So I just kind of winnowed out, cheesecake, not that interested. I mean, that may be something really important for somebody else, but I started to, by being more mindful about my food choices, which are the ones that are really meaningful for me, which ones really resonate, and then also being able to swap out healthier foods to replace less healthy foods. So, for instance, that urge to throw popcorn at your face while you're watching a movie, I still do that. I just don't do movie theater popcorn. I do, I get kosher salt and, some organic popcorn. I pop it up in an air popper and a little bit of olive oil, and it's delicious, and has a tiny fraction of the calories that the movie popcorn has. So, it's a process, but by slowing down, you also eat less. If you want a slice of pizza, enjoy the heck out of that slice of pizza. And then there's the less of a desire to go back because you've satisfied the real thing. Most Americans are getting enough calories anyway, so it's not about being underfed. It's that emotional gratification, wanting to really feel like you've tasted and enjoy your meal, but if you're not present, then that's the thing that's going to lead you to go back and, have another slice or snack or any of that.
Right. So you get to enjoy it and you don't have to keep eating more. I think we push that here. The Americans have gotten really heavy because we push more is better.
Right.
But you don't eat more if you're enjoying
what you
have.
Right. And most like half of the world lives on a bowl of rice a day, this idea of even having three square meals is kind of an American concept. Part of this is taking the time to listen to what your body is really telling you. So by slowing down, you become more aware of how quickly you're getting full, so you don't overeat. The Okinawans recommend, I think, Hari Hachibu, I apologize to any Japanese speakers out there, which is only eat until you're 80% full. That just is a practice of mindfulness, of how full am I at this moment? To stop before you're 100% full, because if you're 100% full, then you're essentially stretching your stomach out. But if you only eat 80% full, then the stomach is going to retain its shape, and then you're going to continue to eat at a more modest rate.
Right. And I have noticed that if I eat quickly, I don't notice how full I am until afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, it's not just how you eat, but what you eat. So we find that Americans. I've read research that 2/3 of the average American proteins are based on corn because we overproduce corn. And so Michael Pollan, the Omnivore's Dilemma, recommends eating only real food instead. So instead of processed food, which is based on corn syrup and, corn starches, all the snacks and, the stuff that you get in fast food joints,
right.
The McDonald's milkshake is based on corn. It's not milk, avoiding processed foods, so only buy things that have 5 ingredients on the label to make sure that you're not eating heavily processed food. Or another good tip is just to avoid shopping down the supermarket aisles where all the packaged food are, and instead shop the perimeter of the supermarket where you've got all your fresh fruits and vegetables, and then your refrigerated cases with dairies and meats. Those are all on the outside edge of the supermarket, but it's down the aisles where you have the processed stuff.
Right. So here's a question, because I know you mentioned this last time, and I really like this concept. Why is it that our first bite of food always tastes the best? I know I look forward to that first bite of something that I've really been, you know, something I've really wanted, and it's finally in front of me, and that first bite tastes the best, but halfway through, it's not as, you know, as interesting to me.
Right, because that's the first bite, the moment that you're paying attention. So it's a really insightful question, but you can extend that moment of paying attention longer, you know. So that, I mean, that's the meditative part of the practice. I mean, you know, meditation is a practice, right? So you know, it's not going to happen instantaneously, but you know, the next time you're sitting down with something that you really just love, and you know, that first bite is glorious, and you shut your eyes and you know, you savor it for a while and you put your fork down. Try to do that a couple times. You know, try to extend that experience of the first bite further into the meal. And then you'll find that, you know, like that silent breakfast, you know, you can start to extend your attention throughout the meal. And then you dovetail in this idea of, you know, where is this food coming from? How is it created? Is it healthy for me? And then, you know, like everything that led up to having the meal, and then everything that happens next, which is, you know, when am I done? You know, when am I full? And just slowing down and putting the fork down occasionally is a way for allowing that awareness to start to build. And then you're really there at that point. You know, then the process of shedding pounds is actually pleasurable, because you're kind of having peak enjoyment of the experience of eating, and none of the guilt associated with overeating. And, you know, you're starting to move towards something that's much more in line with, you know, what you really need physically and emotionally.
So we can keep enjoying the same, you know, keep enjoying the food even as well as the first bite all the way through the meal.
Make it a meditation, yeah. Right, which is actually an argument for, if you're going to eat something unhealthy, rather than do it like in social company when you're not really paying attention, you know, you're eating the dark chocolate cake while you're talking to somebody, you know, have that be your private meditation, you know, sit down with yourself if you want, like, you know, once a week or whatever, that's the time you want to really enjoy that. That's a good way of doing it. You know, the social eating thing can also trip you up.
So what about stress? How does that lead to eating more mindlessly?
Well, I mean, for starters, it's, you know, obviously eating is a really easy way to comfort ourselves. You know, say if you've had a rough day, or if you've had an emotional outburst with somebody, and you want to give yourself comfort, that's, you know, for a lot of us, it's, you know, that's an easy way to just, you know, make ourselves feel a little bit better about what's going on in the world. But there's a lot of research that's going on right now that's showing how what you affects your health, you know, in ways that most of us aren't even aware of, which is that, you know, 70% of Americans die from food-related chronic illnesses, and 70% of what Americans eat is processed. And a vegan diet reduces healthcare costs by 70%. So that's a lot of 70%. They all kind of match up. You know, there's this, you know, there's a through line in terms of unhealthy eating and chronic disease. You know, diabetes, as you know, is, you know, a chronic problem in America right now. And also, it's, you know, a small change has a big impact. So like an 8-ounce can of soda a day actually redoubles your risk of diabetes, right? And then that's huge.
That is huge.
Right, and a 20-ounce can of soda a day will add 26 pounds in a year.
Wow.
So, and then there's correlations between sugar being a primary prerequisite for cancer. So, you know, there's, we are relationship with food as a country is problematic. In the 1950s, America's biggest expense after housing was food, and now it's healthcare. So with the introduction of industrial food, we've basically traded off healthier, more expensive food for cheap food that leads to all kinds of healthcare problems.
Mm-hmm. So we're eating ourselves to death.
Yeah, many of us are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving was my favorite holiday, but it's also, it's a feast. It's a practice of pigging out. And, and the way it was kind of experienced and, when my kids were growing up, it really seemed like from Thanksgiving all the way to Easter, there was just too much food in the house. There would always be people would be bringing in treats for one reason or another. So it was, ended up being just like a 6-month-long feast.
Wow.
Meanwhile, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of people, but in a lot of other cultures, they have traditions of fasting, mm-hmm. which we don't have. And when I finally rolled around to trying to fast, I realized that, I really don't need to eat 3 meals, 3 squares a day. I did a 3-day fast and, it was fine. And if someone out there wants to try it, a good one is do a cup of fresh lemonade sweetened with honey and a little shake of ground pepper, and that you can drink as much water as you want, and you drink that for your meals. And that's enough. You don't really need that many calories to survive or function.
Right. I think we certainly, like you said, Americans are not calorie deprived.
Well, no, not at all. And again, it's this, it goes all the way back to overproducing corn, which led to the marketing of industrial foods and all of this. I mean, it's been a huge trend towards, what was it? I think KFC was talking about the fourth meal. Like they're trying to invent this concept of, a fourth meal. So, have a late night dinner before bed. We're being marketed to kind of relentlessly in order to move all of this product, because people are profiting on people eating. So, as we talked about last time, there's also this whole thing of our, stress and our sympathetic nervous system, and how, that leads into, desire to medicate ourselves in one way or another, and food is just one way that people do that.
Right. So, in the few minutes that we have left, do you have any more tips for listeners that could help them? You mentioned slowing down when eating, maybe eating in a non-distracted way. And, you talked about a couple of other things, but are there some more tips that you can give for listeners to eat more mindfully?
Sure. It's good to be aware of why you're eating. So if you feel like there are emotional triggers that you've been stressed out and you're trying to comfort yourself, it's good just start with awareness, try not to be self-critical. It's good to pick your poisons, like I talked about desserts, so if something doesn't really excite you, then, why are you eating it? Eat the things mm-hmm. that really are things that give you real pleasure. And then you shouldn't eat it for a few hours before bed. Your body needs to be awake in order to digest properly. And, this thing of cellular inflammation leading to chronic disease, I think really key to long-term health, as far as this conversation relates to that. And then finally, I'd say reflect without judging on what you've eaten during the day and why. Kind of go through an inventory and just think of what your meals were and what was the big meal and whether they were balanced and, how much processed food was there. And I think that quick mental accounting it's just a good way to, again, be aware kind of in the aggregate, how am I doing? You know, and finally, I would say, like, you know, improving an eating habit even slightly over a long period of time will have an effect. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I said earlier, it didn't take me that long to put on a lot of weight. It took me longer to get rid of it, but I wasn't starving myself. I was eating, you know, mindfully and healthy and really enjoying, you know, cooking and eating. And, you know, over time it had this beneficial effect. It was really a side effect of just becoming more mindful.
Right.
I wasn't intentionally dieting. It was, you know, it was a side effect of this mindfulness practice.
And that has the most lasting effect, right?
Right, because you're changing your habits in ways
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, useful to you, and not beating yourself up by, you know, not sticking to a program or not seeing the result immediately, you know. And I do think this idea, I mean, most primary of all is just, you know, try to enjoy eating more by being more present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
mm-hmm.
where the biggest benefit of all. Then everything else kind of flows out of that. It becomes effortless.
Right, right. So Steve, before we go, how can people contact you if they want more information? Where can people take your yoga classes and so on?
Yeah, sure. You can reach me at KaneSteve@ME.com, KaneSteve@ME.com. And I teach at Yoga Shavaya in Tarrytown, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they can yogashavaya.com and see the schedule. And I'm really happy to have the chance to talk about this. I mean, it's really made a big change in my life, you know, to kind of reprogram the way I related to food.
Yeah, I'm glad that you came on, because we talk about eating healthier food, but I think being able to enjoy healthier food is really an important part of that. So, thank you.
That's my pleasure.
And